I've seen all the things I've discovered, but not for much longer, because too many others know what's happening out there.
I want to believe.
Hi, this is David Duchovny, and you're listening to CJSF 90.1 Burnaby.
Okay, listeners, that was James by Sadia Wele, Fifin Bamzi, and Dino. On to the next question. So if it wasn't for music, where would you be right now? Was there any career outlook you're looking at?
If I wasn't doing music, what would I be doing right now?
That's so hard.
Yeah.
Especially because, like, even before doing music professionally, I was performing in school. I was performing, like, since I was a kid. So I'm like, what would I have been doing? I guess maybe acting. I feel like I would have still been expressing some form of artistic venture, like writing or poetry or, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like when the art is there, no matter what you do, or like God kind of aligns, the universe kind of aligns you with your path. Regardless, so it's always gonna fall in place.
Yeah, exactly.
And is there a favorite musician that you admire? I want African or Nigerian specifically, and then
Okay, Nigerian specifically. That is hard. Wow, because there's so many.
There are so many good ones,
and for different reasons too. I love Tems. Like Tems is an incredible musician. I love her songwriting, and I love her music, and I just the boldness and the sensitivity of her voice, the vulnerability. Like I love the way that she performs. Burna Boy is incredible. Like he's changing the game. Like in his production style, like the way that they incorporate samples into the Afrobeats, like he's created a very unique lane for himself that's so inspiring. WizKid is like the OG. Like, what's not to love about WizKid, right? So it's just, it's so hard to like pick just one. And then there's also artists from that inspired me that maybe may not necessarily be as commercial, like Usha. I grew up listening to Usha, and like, she's an incredible musician, and she also inspired the way that I sing and the way that I write. So I gave you four.
No, that's honestly great, because honestly, those are also good artists that you mentioned right there.
Yeah.
Speaking of Nigeria, do you have any plans to go back and possibly tour there sometime in the future?
Yes. Oh my gosh, I would love to. And not just Nigeria, I would love to tour. There's about four countries on my mind. Definitely Nigeria, Ghana, South Africa, and Tanzania. Those four places are on my mind at the very minimum to visit, because one, I have a few followers that are from those places, but also because I love their music, I love their art, I love the style, and obviously I'm Nigerian, so have to. Yeah.
And then like the Nigerian part, like favorite food?
Nigerian favorite food, definitely. Egusi soup. Anything with egusi soup, I love. I love rice and egusi. I love pounded yam and egusi. I love plantain and egusi. Yeah.
And Vancouver's like, you, the spot you go to that you're trying to find all your food?
Sometimes Vansuya. Vansuya has egusi. Sometimes I might be getting this wrong, but I think it's called I think it's called Abike, but I might be getting this so wrong. They're based out in Surrey. Ooh. And it's like really, really good food. And it's not just even egusi. They have like suya, they have like pepper soup, like all kinds of like really good, really good food.
I think I know what you're talking about. It's like Alebi.
Alebi African cuisine. Yes, thank you.
Yeah, I think if you have time, you should check out Taste of Africa.
I've heard of Taste of Africa.
It's also like another business, more of like Ghanaian focused, but it's also like they've got good jollof though, so you can check that one out.
All right,
about in your past or like even currently, like most trouble you've gotten into?
Most trouble that I've gotten into, like with my parents or like with people, or like
we know African parents. The numerous times we've always been in trouble. So.
The one that I can think of right now, when I was younger, I didn't understand the difference between like telling like things that should stay in your family versus things that you can tell people. I didn't have any understanding of boundaries. So I would tell people anything. Like if my sister told me that, oh, I don't like that person because they have a big head, I'll be like, my sister told me that you my sister said you have a big head. And like I one time I got in serious trouble for that, because like my sister, like she had a really sharp mouth growing up. So she was always the first to diss people, and I would tell them I would download everything that she said. I'll be like, she said that you're this, she said that you're that. So we had this French teacher at the time. I'll never forget her in my life, Madame Chukwu. We had this French teacher, and then she was teaching us. And before she came to the house, my sister, I guess, was pissed off that day. And my sister was a teenager at the time, so like moody teenager. And I'm just like this young kid just trying to figure out life. And then my sister, I guess in conversation, she was like, this woman is a thief. Yeah, she's always stealing. Blah, blah, blah. And I was like, this is juicy information. So then I, like, when we had our French class, I was like looking at my sister, and I was like, tell her like what you said. My sister's like, what are you talking about? The thing you said. Like, and then my sister hisses and walks away, like, I don't know what you're talking about. And then Madame Chukwu looks at me and is like, what are you talking about? And I was like, my sister said that you're a thief.
Oh, my days.
I got in so much trouble. My parents were like, what did you say? Since that day, I've become the opposite. Like, I don't talk about anybody's business. I was like, Jack. But yeah, no, it was crazy. Madame Chukwu, I'll never forget.
Nowadays. Yeah, I think as kids, it's like, we all do our own thing. Like, all get in trouble for, like, a bunch of stupid stuff. But it's no more, to be honest.
Yeah.
But then, like, we all know the music industry is, like, a very difficult industry to, like, function in or, like, even progress in. So, like, what's the best piece of advice you've gotten from, like, anywhere, family? It can be from a fellow artist or anyone.
Yeah. Yeah, the music industry is very tough to navigate. And one major thing that I've learned is not to compare myself with other artists. It is so important because as an artist, we have a voice, we have a gift, and it's important to focus, to harness your gift and focus on your own voice because you have a message to give. And regardless of whether you're still in the early stages or in the developed stage, it's important to focus on that. You can get inspiration from other artists. You can get inspiration from other people, but it shouldn't be so much that it makes you feel like you're not making progress. And that's the other thing. Progress is so relative. It might look like someone is so far ahead, and then a couple years down the line, everyone's like, oh, what happened to that person? Or you might be looking like you're not that far ahead, and then all of a sudden you just take off. So it's important to really, really focus on your journey and also just be grateful, because even having this gift and being able to express it is such an amazing, beautiful thing. So just living every day with that gratitude, I believe it opens even more doors of opportunity because it allows you to see things from a better lens rather than seeing it from the lens of being a disadvantage. And then also just making the best with what you have. Like, it's like, okay, if whatever you have is just like, you know, maybe you only work with one person as a producer, or like you have a small band, or you don't even have a band at all, you're like working with backing track, just make the best with whatever you have and you'll see how you start to slowly grow and develop from there. Yeah.
And in regards to the music industry, how difficult is it is, would you still want to change anything about it?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like in Canada specifically, the music industry for artists of color is very tough. Mm-hmm. I feel like the industry is still growing. It's still at its very early stages. And I find that it's hard to find spaces that appreciate music, especially R&B or Afrobeats or Afro Soul. It, as much as it is growing, like we have cities like Toronto that are pioneering and really trying to push. But at the same time, there's still a lot of room for growth. And I think that artists of color need to be represented better. Artists of color need to be given more spaces where they can express their art and given more opportunities to thrive. So yeah, there's definitely still a lot of work to be done when it comes to that. Yeah.
Oh, that's encouraging to hear. Mm-hmm. And does that go into kind of like what's next to you? Are you going to try and focus on more of like going into those spaces or creating those spaces or working with other like organizations to kind of like get your voice out there and
exactly.
like promote?
Yeah, like definitely more collaborations, more touring, and you know, the advantage of that is it gives the industry the opportunity to see what I'm able to do and what other artists are able to do, because I also want to put other artists on the map in these cities. So the hope is that we can collaborate with local artists in these cities that are artists of color, so that they can be given a space to perform their art, and hopefully that sort of shows like we have the capabilities to do this and to create something special, and that our culture is so powerful and it's important for us to be to express that. So yeah,
thank you for joining me. That was Sadia Wille. She's a great talent that you should definitely be on the lookout for. This is CGSF 90.1 FM. I'm your host Matthew, and have a great day.
It's for my sugar banana, my sweetie potato. Chat, you're so sweet, oh.
3, 2, 1. If there's a time, it is now. If there's a feeling, expression, I want it. I want to capture this moment. Your smile, your heart. If there's a place, it is here. A place of rest, relaxation. With you, with you, with you. Change, but you'll stay the same. Friends come and go, but you'll still remain. sadness.
Yeah.
I can never get enough. Do you know you are sweet apple pie, sweet like cherry pie. You are so sweet.
Welcome back to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby Campus Community Radio from Simon Fraser University. My name is Jesse. You just heard Apple Pie by Sade Awele. And before that, you heard Sade speaking with Public Affairs Department work study Matthew. Thanks to Matthew for putting that interview together. His first radio piece on the airwaves. So congrats to Matthew, and we'll look forward to some more cool stuff. And now we will move on to the much vaunted and hyped and long awaited segment, Tape Rescue, where I go back into another part of the CJSF archives and find cool spoken word audio from cassette tapes and bring them to your ears. And this one is also a cool confluence of my interests. It's on a cassette, and it's an episode of a program called Backroads Adventure Radio, which features field recordings and interviews and sort of like a virtual travel cassette. I did some digging and found only three mentions of Backroads Adventure Radio on the internet, two references to it airing on CKUT out of Montreal in 1995 for 1 year, and a text description of an advertisement in a magazine for Backroads Adventure Radio that is simply the words Backroads Adventure Radio. The cassette tells me that this is an episode from September 27th, 1995, Train Ride to Churchill / Canoeing on the Miramichi, and we are going to together listen to the canoe ride on the Miramichi, which features some Danish tourists. It features a fish story and the lovely sounds of paddling down the Miramichi River. So without further ado, here is that. Let's rescue that tape.
The train between Churchill and Winnipeg. Coming up later, we visit some of the people who ride one of Canada's most isolated railroads. But first, a canoeist paddling down New Brunswick's Miramichi River. In just a minute, a trip down this legendary waterway. Welcome to Backroads, Canada's only outdoor adventure radio program. I'm Daryl Rochelle. Last fall, Backroads correspondent Bruce Thorson traveled across Canada. And on today's program, we'll hear his stories from Manitoba and New Brunswick. We'll start with Bruce's paddle down New Brunswick's Miramichi. He canoed with a guide from Clearwater Hollow Expeditions.
Bet you're going fishing all of the time. Baby going fishing too. Bet your life, your sweet life is going to...
This is the Miramichi. The river runs from central New Brunswick for a distance of about 2.5 to 3 days of wilderness canoeing to about 2 to 3 days of canoeing through little villages along the river out into the Northumberland Strait on the east coast of New Brunswick. This run that we're going to do today is about a distance of about 15, 20 miles. And we're putting in here in Boys Town, which is the geographical center of the province. And we're going to canoe from Boys Town to Dope Town. It's a distance of about 20 miles. We'll just we'll lunch along one of the islands along the river, and we'll stop and have an opportunity to cross the swinging bridge, be a covered bridge used hundred years ago for stagecoaches, and we'll come out around 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Those dulcet tones belong to Roger Clowater of Clearwater Hollow Expeditions, and he's going to be our guide and, I guess, canoe mate for today's edition of Backroads Adventure Radio on the Miramichi in central New Brunswick.
With his pole and his line, he was going fishing, yes, he's going fishing, baby, going fishing too. Put him in the pot, baby, put him in the
right off the top, Roger. When they told me I was coming here to do this trip, they said it was in McDamie, and I thought, never heard of it. But I was happy to go there. On the other hand, when I found out I was going down the Miramichi River, for some reason, I felt I'd heard that name before, but I couldn't quite put my finger on it. I'm wondering why I might have heard of this river before.
The Miramichi River has long been a very well-known name in the salmon fishing circles, and it has attracted sportsmen from all over the world, so there's no doubt that you have heard of it before, Bruce.
Well, I'm no fisherman. That's definitely true. So maybe you could give me sort of a thumbnail sketch of what salmon fishing on the Miramichi is like. Why is it this river that's so good for salmon fishing?
It's a naturally clean, and there's no manufacturing on this river. It flows out of the central part of the province, and it's just absolutely wilderness. One stretch of it is about 3 days of just wilderness canoeing. You would not see even a village along the river in that stretch. You could run into anything from a moose down at the river shore drinking, or up to his shoulders in the river drinking water and feeding. You could find deer along the shore coming around to your campsite. You'd even see coyotes and even bear down at the shore. Something else that we used to have here and we don't anymore, caribou.
Well, besides the coyote and the bear, the salmon, Roger and myself, we're not alone out here on the river today, and the fishermen. Jules and Ingrid are two folks who are over in Canada. They eloped. They're from Holland, and they're just up ahead on the river. Maybe we'll catch up with them now and see how they're enjoying life on the Miramichi as newlyweds.
Yeah.
Hang on.
Yeah. Oh. Yep. You're fine. So we're out on the Miramichi here with Ingrid and Jules. Have you folks actually ever canoed before?
Yes, but it was a very long time ago.
Where was it?
In a very big plane park in middle of Holland.
In Holland?
Yeah.
So you do a lot of canoeing in Holland? People canoe a lot in Holland?
No, not so much.
In the town we live, in Delft, there are many canals, and tourists can canoe there.
Oh, canoe in the canal.
Yeah. So we see them in the summer every day in front of our house.
How does canoeing in a canal compare to canoeing on the Miramichi?
Very calm and quiet.
Yes.
No rapids and
no nature. You see only streets and running people and buildings and houses a year. Wherever you look, you only see very.
Right. Yeah. So Holland, you'll forgive me, I don't know that much about it. How much space, like, Out on the Miramichi here, we were just chatting a little earlier, you got a lot of room and a lot of wilderness. How does Holland compare in size and population, that sort of thing? How easy is it to get away in Holland and not have anyone around you?
It's very difficult to do.
Yeah.
There are 50 million people in a country the size, one third of New Brunswick.
15 million.
15 million.
Well.
Well, and there are some nature reserves where you can go, but they are fairly crowded too.
Okay. Well, we're approaching a fork in the river and a couple rocks, so we're going to let you guys go and we'll get on with our paddling here.
Yeah, wacht even. Ik moet nog wel omdraaien.
Yep. We got you. So.
Hello.
No, it's fine.
Bet your life, your sweet life, are gonna catch more fish than you.
You can be doing anything on this river. When I say on the river, it's on the river or next to the river, and you'll hear a hoop.
A hoop.
A hoop.
Why a hoop?
Well, it goes back to the old lumberjack days.
Right.
After they've busted up a big log jam.
On the river, yeah.
On the river. And once the log jam was busted up, you had to look out because there were logs going everywhere.
Right.
I guess the hoop would sound something like this. Sorry, I broke up.
So it was very funny to break up a log jam.
Okay.
Say it
again.
I'll try her again then. The hoop would sound like...
Woo-hoo! A driver!
And there's a driver. So that's the Miramichi hoop and driver.
That's the hoop and driver. I broke up there. I think I have a chest cold. I think I just broke it up.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's the other use of the hoop and driver.
Yeah.
But they haven't done the log jam or the log run on the river in quite a while. People still... hooping and driving her?
People are still hooping and driving her. And I guess that's part of our culture.
Well, there you go. Backroads Adventure Radio teaches you, the listening public, the hoop and driver. The Miramichi hoop and driver. That's pretty good.
And finally, what would a day on the Miramichi be without a fish story? Retired guide Pearlie Clowater reels us in for this one. For Backroads, I'm Bruce Thorson.
Can I tell you my fish story? McCluskey's was a sporting goods store and a general store. They kept everything. So all the sportsmen used to go there and buy fly hooks and whatnot. So anyway, this night the sport came in there and this old Wes Hickey, he was a railroad man, section foreman, so he was in there. But this Marion got telling him that he caught an awful big salmon today. And Wes said, how much did it weigh, sir? And he told Wes it weighed 50 pounds. And Wes says, I can't hardly believe that. So anyway, they let it go at that. So Wes, he told a story about him being down in what they call Hickey Pool. His name was Wes Hickey. And he's fishing in this Hickey Pool. And he said he's fishing away and he got this bite. And he said he reeled her in. And what do you think he had on the hook? He said it was a lantern. You know what a lantern is.
Yeah.
And he said the lantern was lit.
Under the water.
Under the water. So the American said, that's a quit a story. He said, that's a great big lie.
Yeah.
And Wes says, you take 20 pounds off your salmon, I'll blow the lantern out.
Well, that's a pretty good one.
That's a fish story, though.
The Bill Reid Gallery presents Bright Futures, an exhibition that brings together the innovative art of Bill Reid with new works by contemporary emerging and established Indigenous artists of the Northwest Coast until January 14, 2024. To celebrate the life of Bill Reid 25 years after his death, contributing artists were invited to ponder and critique the question, how is Bill Reid continuously inspiring contemporary Northwest Coast artists? To learn more about this exhibition, visit billreidgallery.ca.